Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Friday, May 19th, and today we're going to be looking at a couple of issues from the front pages. I have an article over at the American Thinker that I want to talk about a little bit with you tonight, and that's a story about these journalists being killed in Mexico. There's a real problem south of the border with violence, but specifically violence directed at journalists, and it's really becoming a very dangerous place to practice journalism. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I've got some thoughts on President Trump and Special Counsel Mueller. I actually think this is a good thing for President Trump. I actually think that the counsel is going to give him a little bit of time and actually put him back on a focus on some of the more important issues that the country wants to tackle with. So I actually think that obviously nobody wants a counsel or a special counsel looking into his activities, but I think in this case it's going to turn out okay for President Trump. There's a lot of talk about a new FBI director. Joe Lieberman seems to be the favorite, and I would have no trouble whatsoever with the former Senator Lieberman as a potential FBI director. And have you noticed something, how all of a sudden a lot of Democrats are lowering the talk about impeachment, even saying, hey, you know, let's not go so fast. I think even Nancy Pelosi was saying, well, we got to get more facts. We can't just go with what we have. And I think it's interesting because it may be a sign that they're beginning to prepare their base for some kind of a disappointment. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. President Trump had a special visitor this week from Colombia, President Santos. And, you know, we have actually a pretty good relationship with Colombia. An important trade agreement with Colombia that has worked out rather well for both countries. But what I thought was interesting is that most of the focus of President Santos' visit to the United States had to do with Venezuela, which is, of course, right next door. And I think that's fascinating. And some of the things that President Trump said about Venezuela, hopefully he will follow up on some of that and try to squeeze the Maduro government out of power, because it is totally, completely terrible what is happening down in Venezuela. Well, let's begin with the article that I had at the American Thinker Friday morning regarding journalists being killed in Mexico. It's becoming, as I said in the introduction, a very unsafe place for many of these journalists. Most of them are operating in, let's say, the smaller towns across the country. These are not journalists in Mexico City or Monterrey. In those cases, there have been some killings, but most of these are smaller regional media magazines or websites who have been extremely aggressive in covering the cartels. They have been reporting a lot of the bad things happening with cartels. They've also targeted government corruption, by the way, not just the cartels. And one of them was killed this week, and he was a 50-year-old journalist in the city of Sinaloa. It's the sixth journalist killed in 2017, and it also highlights something that we talked about a week or so ago when we had our show with Fausto Rodriguez-Wirtz. It highlights the violence in Mexico. Mexico is becoming a very violent country. Now, the Mexican government will always come back and say, well, it's not all cartel related. A lot of it is just, you know, run of the mill violence, and none of the violence is happening in the tourist centers. And that's true, okay? In fact, is that if you go to Cancun or if you go to any of the Caribbean resorts, you're going to be totally free of violence. Now, there is some problems in the Pacific side because of some of the issues with Acapulco and Michoacan and some of the some of those particular states. But for the most part, the violence is not impacting most of the American tourists who are focusing on the Caribbean, on the Caribbean resorts. But it is a fact. It is a fact that Mexico is becoming a very dangerous place. Now, what can we do? What can the government of Mexico do? Not a heck of a lot, really, to be honest with you, because many of these are journalists. They're independent journalists, and they're targeting the cartels, and the cartels obviously fight back by killing them and identifying where they are and then just sort of going in for the kill, as they say, if I may use that phrase. And that's what happened to this journalist in Sinaloa, in the state of Sinaloa, which is just south of California. So it's a very dangerous situation, and I think that it really highlights a bigger problem, which is the violence in Mexico and many other things going on down there. So, you know, I've always said we don't get that much information here in the United States about the violence in Mexico, particularly the violence against journalists. But it is a real problem. It is a very serious problem. And it's indicative of a larger problem, of course, which is a very unsafe society in many parts of the country. As I said, it's not impacting the resorts. I don't want you to, if you're going to Cancun, nothing's going to happen to you. You're pretty safe. But in some of the interior, some of the small towns, particularly in the north, the violence is becoming very, very complicated. Well, President Trump, as you know, met with the president of Colombia, President Santos, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, we have a good relationship with Colombia for the most part, but I thought it was interesting that the whole focus of the meeting, the whole focus of the press conference, or so many of the questions had to do with Venezuela. And, of course, what's happening in Venezuela is a total collapse of that society. You have now almost daily protests and daily marches, daily confrontations between the people and the police or the army. And I think at some point that's going to have to change. At some point Maduro, who is the president of Venezuela, is going to have to leave. He can no longer run that country. And I think, unfortunately, one of these days there's going to be a real massacre. They've had some shootings, but I'm talking about a real massacre where maybe some of the soldiers lose their self-control and start shooting into a crowd, and you've got maybe 30, 40, 50 people, 100 people shot or something. And I think that's the point that all of this will end in Venezuela. But what we're really hoping for is that President Trump and some of the other leaders of Latin America can put pressure on President Maduro to simply resign and leave the country. I think that's about the only solution that I can see for the problem, for this problem in Venezuela, because as I said before, there is going to be a nasty massacre happening because these confrontations are happening every day, and you just cannot put that many people in front of soldiers without the possibility that there's going to be a massacre. And when that happens, well, you'll see a lot of people, unfortunately, being killed in Venezuela. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Quedes, Harpist, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
Well, if you're not doing anything on a Saturday night, if you're trying to do something on a Saturday night, I would definitely recommend that you check out my friend Carlos at Nola's here in Dallas. Nola's is right downtown, Nola. It's easy to find, good parking, and it's just a great atmosphere on Saturday nights at Nola. Let's get back into some of the politics. There's some talk that FBI or the new FBI director is going to be Joe Lieberman. I would have no trouble with that. I think Lieberman is the kind of man who's respected on both sides. Now, interestingly enough, some Democrats are opposing the nomination. I don't know why, but right now the FBI needs a director who is clean and honest and non-political. And even though Joe Lieberman was a senator, he was never a partisan kind of guy. And I think he would be an excellent choice. I hope that, in fact, I hope that's what ends up happening, that President Trump appoints or selects Joe Lieberman as the FBI director. I think it would actually be good for the investigation. It would be good for the country to have a man like Lieberman in the FBI. We need somebody in there right now who's dead serious and who is not partisan one way or the other. You know, President Trump yesterday reacted to the appointment of the special counsel. I'm not exactly sure when he wrote the tweet if he was talking about the special counsel or whether he was talking about the investigation or things in general. I mean, I do agree with him that there is a witch hunt. I mean, they're out to get him. There's no question in my mind about that, that many people in the media are just out to get him, and they're basically using tactics that I personally don't care for. All these anonymous sources, you know, somebody said this, somebody said that. We never know who it is. And I think it may very well backfire on the news media if it hasn't already. But I think it's interesting that in the long run, I believe the special counsel is going to end up helping President Trump, because I think the special counsel will determine that all of this stuff about Russia and the Trump campaign is just a bunch of crap. That doesn't mean there may have been one person or somebody who was associated with the campaign who may have had a meeting or something, but there's nothing that connects Mr. Trump or anybody else in the campaign with Russia. I think a lot of it is just, as he likes to say, fake news. Well, this is fake news. There is no Russia connection, and I think the media should drop it. I find it very interesting that the Democrats are no longer talking that much about impeachment. Now, some of them do, some of them still do, but some of the Democratic leaders, like Nancy Pelosi, are sort of toning it down a little bit, lowering the volume, saying, hey, guys, not so fast. And I think it's because they're beginning to realize that there's nothing, I mean, no crime has been committed. You know, you don't impeach a president just because you don't like him. You have to have grounds for impeachment, and there aren't any at the moment. Also, I think Nancy Pelosi understands the political reality that in order to impeach a president, you got to put it to a vote in the House, and that vote means that usually the majority power or the majority party has to put it to a vote in the House. And right now they don't have that because Republicans run the House. So that's not going to happen. And even in the Senate, you got to get 67 votes to basically convict the president and overturn the election. They don't have that by any means. So I think Nancy Pelosi and maybe some Democrats are beginning to realize, you know, this is not going to get us anywhere. And in fact, it may have the opposite effect. It may turn off a lot of Americans who are saying that we're just being unfair to President Trump. So it's interesting that you hear this from Democrats, because I think maybe they see something out there, and that is that a lot of people are just getting fed up with all this partisanship and all these attacks on President Trump. I think it is getting a bit hysterical and something that the Democrats need to keep an eye on. On this day in history, I wanted to quickly talk about this. We have a show that we have coming up in the next day, where we're going to talk about Cuba, a couple of very important dates in Cuban history this week, May 19th today. We remember the death of José Martí, who was in many ways the father of Cuban independence, or at least that's we remember him. And then on May 20th, of course, Independence Day in Cuba. This is Independence Day from Spain back in 1902. So we're going to get together with my good friend Jorge Ponce, and we're going to look at these two dates. We have the perspective, of course, of being Cuban Americans or people who left Cuba as kids who were brought here by our parents. So we've grown up in the United States, and we have celebrated these holidays here in the United States as Cuban Americans. And of course, as we get older and some of the new ones are coming up, we have a certain responsibility to pass that tradition and that history to the younger people. So we'll talk a lot about that, the death of José Martí, as well as remember Cuban independence on May 20th, 1902. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our program. We've got some great shows coming up next week. We've got some great shows in the archives that you might want to take a look at. We did a show with Frank Burke the other day talking about all this hysteria in Washington. So we got a lot of stuff in the archives. Just look under the show, and then you will see all of the shows that are there, as they say, available on demand. You just click on one and listen to them. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.